So here's another thought. Iraq and Afghanistan may not be the centerpiece for the new security team for President Obama in the second term. This team may be more about navigating the U.S.'s complicated relationship with China.
The simple fact is, we need China, and China needs us. We have to get this relationship right.
Speaking back in 2010, that's Secretary of State designate now, John Kerry. Joining us is Donald Gross, former director at the National Security Council in the White House. He's senior associate at the Center for Strategic and International Studies and the author of The China Fallacy, How the U.S. Can Benefit from China's Rise and Avoid Another Cold War. Donald Gross, welcome to the program.
Thanks, John. It's a pleasure to be here.
So is it possible that John Kerry and Chuck Hagel, to a lesser extent, were selected because they have a reputation for, particularly Kerry, of cooperating with China, of having influence in Beijing?
I think they were selected for their overall foreign policy outlook, some of which was just very well described by Brian Bender in your previous segment. China is an important part of that because we have a difficult or fraught relationship with China at this point, especially on some security issues. And I believe that both Senator Hagel and Senator Kerry will do a great deal to improve that relationship, which frankly is in much need of improvement.
And, you know, there's been a real ambivalence or ambiguity, at least from my perspective, about the China relationship in the sense that the critique of China has come in the human rights realm from the Secretary of State, but in the economic realm from the Secretary of the Treasury. And the question of holding China accountable is sometimes an economic issue, sometimes a human rights issue, and sometimes a military issue, which would seem to diffuse the question of who's going to be the point person on China in this administration.
You're right, of course, that it's a complex relationship with all of those components you mentioned, economics, human rights, and security. I think that the fact that both Senator Hagel and Senator Kerry and Vice President Biden worked very closely together in the Senate and have a great deal of respect for each other and have quite a good relationship with President Obama will prevent there from being the kinds of bureaucratic conflicts that might interfere with an overall purposeful U.S. relationship. So I'm less concerned about bureaucratic squabbles and quite encouraged by the overall direction of the policy. And also, as for Treasury Secretary Geithner, although the Treasury Secretary and the Department has appropriately been critical of some trade practices by China, Secretary Geithner has also said that the U.S. and China have a great deal invested in each other's success. And Geithner points out that trade with China supports hundreds of thousands of American jobs across a number of industrial sectors. So fact is we have a very closely intertwined economic relationship between the two countries, which underlies our overall relations.
So there's been a changing of the guard over in China, and yet these national security figures in the Obama administration are people that have been around for a long time. They certainly predate the new leadership in Beijing. Does this give them a sense of credibility and possibly even clout in Beijing at this particular time in history?
I think so. I think that we have a very clear window of opportunity with the new leadership in China, the new president, Xi Jinping, who will take office in March. As you suggest, the depth of experience that Senator Hagel and Senator Kerry have going back to the Vietnam War, their interest in Asian issues, will help them. And already, Senator Kerry has established a personal relationship with President Xi during President Xi's visit to the United States. And one last point on Senator Hagel. As chairman of the Atlantic Council, he oversaw a very important report that came out in early December, which didn't get the publicity it deserved, frankly, which pointed out that the single most important factor, the most crucial factor for the United States going forward to 2030 with respect to the overall international system is cooperation with China. That's an important factor which I think underlies Senator Hagel's views as well.
Do you think, though, and particularly with the Pentagon role, the discussion, and some of this is driven by strident language coming out of China itself, that it's all about containment, that the U.S. wants to contain China and China is constantly militarily trying to push its influence in the Pacific, and with the dispute over the islands going on right now between Japan and China, do we put the containment issue aside? Do we take sides with China on questions of Taiwan and these so-called Japanese islands?
That's a critical question, and it goes to the heart of our current relations with China on security issues. Back in the fall of last year, the administration announced a so-called strategic pivot to Asia, which amounts to significantly ramping up American forces in the Pacific. Secretary Panetta announced in June that we'll be moving 60% of forces there. Last fall, we announced we'll be putting thousands of American forces in northern Australia. We're looking for new bases, reopening some of the bases that we haven't had since the Vietnam War. That's one very critical factor which creates a great deal of paranoia among the Chinese leadership and among influential foreign policy figures in China. It has a basis in fact. In my view, we are pursuing an effective containment policy toward China, or one might call it the strategic encirclement of China. The very, very important point you mentioned on the East China Sea, the dispute between Japan and China over those small islands known to the Japanese, the Senkaku, the Chinese as the Diaoyu. Last Thursday, there was actually a significant escalation in that conflict. Both the Japanese military and the Chinese scrambled fighters for the first time, raising the level of tension. To its credit, the State Department has dispatched a diplomatic team to the region to try to significantly lower tensions and improve the possibilities of resolution. In my view, on the one hand, the dispute over the territory is largely a legal dispute and should be referred to an international tribunal that has expertise in this area, such as the International Tribunal for the Law of the Sea. But there's also an underlying military question, as you suggest, because Japan is fundamentally – many in Japan are fearful of China's military expansion. Many in China are very fearful of Japan because of the history of aggression. We're trying to take a middle road, and we have a good position on the sovereignty of the islands. We don't recognize either Japanese or Chinese sovereignty. We have to do all we can to improve it. And in my view, a buffer zone, a military buffer zone that protects the coasts of Japan more extensively, the coasts of China more extensively, would diffuse some of the underlying military fears that exist between the two countries.
Well, keeping a middle course without developing a new arms race in the Pacific is certainly the challenge for the national security team going forward. Donald Gross, senior associate at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, author of The China Fallacy, How the U.S. Can Benefit from China's Rise and Avoid Another Cold War. Thanks so much.